Hello, everyone. This is Sean from Saturday Morning Cartoons. I just wanted to welcome everybody back to part two of Disney's Mighty Ducks. This conversation is already in progress, and so if you missed the first part, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the previous episode to catch up. This is just simply a continuation and also a reminder that you are a fantastic human being. So thank you so much for listening, and now on with the show.
How did this thing even start off? I mean,
started off with a chase scene,
like every other cartoon.
No, I think what I loved is that in about the first 30 seconds, you kind of get the temperature of the whole thing. It starts off with the captain,
the framing story, right,
walking up to the stadium, the arena, the pond, I think they call it, where they play hockey. Getting either hit in the face with a flying newspaper floating in the wind, and he pulls it off his face and he looks at it and it says "Mysterious Ducks Foil Crime," and then this is what I think my favorite thing. Yeah. He looks down at the next headline. It's a picture of his own face, and it says "Detective Angered by News Headline."
By duck headline.
It's actually, I wrote it down. It said, "Cops angered by duck
headline." Duck headline. But it just sets the tone. Like, this is the show in a nutshell. Like, it just, from there on, it was great.
Yeah, I love that it poked fun at itself like that. Yeah.
And Mike, it does continually get meta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Points. I mean, I want to get into it as we move forward because it's so good.
This show does not take itself very seriously.
It makes me think of like Community in that it's very self aware that it's a TV series.
You're giving it a lot of credit.
Oh. Fun fact: showrunner on this was actually Dan Harmon.
Yeah, Dan Harmon's Mighty Ducks After Dark.
What?
That explains a lot.
Stop making up facts.
It's on Wikipedia. Yeah, but then it's not too long after that. So basically the framing story is like they were saying, this inspector, this cop who's pissed off about these random ducks that he can't seem to figure out who they are, he goes to talk to the guy that owns the team of these also random ducks that just play hockey. Apparently this cop can't put two and two together, that they're the same, but whatever. So the coach...
Okay, let me... Can I actually interject?
Of course.
Just with an idea on this?
Here we go.
This is my question.
Okay.
This is the question that I made mention of earlier.
Oh, this is your dog eared.
Whether or not this actually takes place on Earth.
Okay, that's a fair question. I mean, the fact that it's animated in a cartoon world, you could make the argument that no, it does not take place on our Earth.
Well, I mean, of course, yes. Right. Well, the question that I have for this is just simply the idea that we had six ducks. We had six. Let me put it in.
We got
terms
six
maybe
ducks,
we
a dragon,
understand.
A chameleon.
No,
ghost
we have
wizard.
Six. We have six aliens that crash land on the planet Earth, and everybody is cool with them just playing hockey and not having to discuss or talk about.
I mean,
and
well,
I say this,
they're a little,
and I say this because I knew, like, let me say this: we are I want to say we are a relatively xenophobic society, and having these ducks come and crash land, like, it's surprising to me that the cop, that this detective, was the only one who was like, six ducks, six superheroes, what are we doing here?
Well, you know that we will, I mean, if you go back to when they first landed, and the agent finds them, and I mean, he is a little skeptical. He does put them up against six dirty hockey players that have been quote unquote kicked out of the NHL.
Yeah, they were like Mad Max rejects.
Well, I like that that's his show and prove. He's just like, you play these six, like,
who are just in the arena. Like, they're not part of his team.
No, they're just staking out territory.
They just bullied their way into this ring.
I love
and
that.
They're
so
dressed like,
these guys
the
are dressed like, they're dressed like Mad Max rejects playing hockey. But I love that the ducks walk in, and these guys have the nerve to come up to them in their, like, spiked uniforms with these big crazy mohawks. And they're like, a little early for Halloween, ain't it? Like, you look like you just walked off a fucking George Miller set. Like, you can't say that just because they look like
ducks. Again, how the fuck do they know about Halloween?
But to your point, Sean, there is actually a reaction when they first I was surprised by the fact that they, I guess because they're kind of aware, they pass through a dimensional portal. Right. Clear they're not in their own dimension. They land on a planet. They land on a planet full of weird-looking, non-beaked, pink primate people, which has to be a shock to them, although they've seen other aliens, because the Dragonus and his people...
And they know Artelian do his impressions.
Yeah, they know our TV series.
They're completely unfazed, and they're just like, hey, I wonder where we are. Almost, and the first few people they meet freak out.
No,
no,
yeah.
No, oh, there it is. That's number one. But the first guy they meet at Wiener World does like freak out and run away. So there's an initial reaction from the humans that like, oh shit, big ducks, like everybody freak out. And so there is that initial shock. But I think the greater point is if you land on our planet and you can play basketball, we don't care.
Or hockey.
Hockey's... we'll get into that later.
I love how it's just like a specific sport.
Wait, are you referring to like Space Jam? Space Jam.
No, I love hockey. I love hockey so much, but I am fully aware as a fan of hockey that is like the fourth, maybe fifth major sport in this country. People to care about
soccer's
it,
coming up there.
So if you can play hockey, like maybe we won't throw you in jail. But if you can play basketball, I don't care where you came from or
but
what
you
do
play football.
Or what babies you eat on the way to get there. If you can play football, we will pay you and we will put you on television. Yeah. Huh. So I think there is a little bit of that, like sports supersedes anything.
Yeah. I think you're correct, Mike, that there was definitely a reaction from some people. And then I just thought that this world that they're on, I was like, how beautiful and accepting is everybody where they're just like, oh, you can do a thing and we're cool with
Look,
it.
Look, maybe this is the like, world from like Dinosaurs or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where they've seen right? these just freaks of nature show up time and again. They're just like, you're probably just here to do some cool stuff, so we're fine.
East Coast, West Coast, you know. It's Northern California, man.
That's
smoke a bone, play hockey with ducks, whatever.
Which one's Tupac?
Oh, yeah, everybody just seemed really cool.
Yeah,
and I thought that was kind of... I think if I had to reboot this show, I would spend a lot of time with them fighting like the military and the government, because they'd be like, we got to capture these ducks
so
and dissect them.
As much as you hate Michael Bay's Transformers, you would Michael Bay Transformer these mighty ducks.
I would I would Sean Paul Ellis these
I really think if we could make them into marketable pro athletes, like the government would stay away.
You think?
I really think that's true.
Man.
That's true. If like the NFL, maybe not the NHL so much, but if the NFL got in there, just like, no, these guys are totally with us.
If Grin played linebacker, like Robert Kraft would keep him away from everyone. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like some sort of weird duck steroid you can take that just like jacks you up into weird duck. I want to say duck proportions, but that doesn't make any sense. You just shrink down to like a tenth your size.
Proportionate strength of a duck.
Yes, exactly.
Is that point? Is it just like, can ducks take human steroids?
I mean, there's only one way to find out.
Yes.
Can they take them? Yes. Can they survive? Maybe a completely different.
On the next episode, Sean goes down to the pond.
I get this terrible image of like Dave chasing a duck with like a loaf of bread.
First of all, I wouldn't chase
and like a
it.
Bunch of kids.
I wouldn't chase it. I'd
just
put the steroids
into it.
In the bread and then feed it to the ducks.
I just have a great image of two ducks sitting in the middle of the pond and one just reaches over and beats the fuck out of the other.
Just like his wing just becomes incredibly muscly all of a sudden. Just chokes
just
the life out of his
rage. Yeah.
And he can only fly in left circles. It's really strange.
Just a whole pond full of like young 3, 4, 5 year olds with their parents just like standing around looking in like complete awe and disgust.
Just watching
and
duck
terror. Just duck murder. And then Dave's just like, look, Animal Kingdom's real rough.
For science.
For science.
There's actually, this is a sad story that's true. There is a duck that has no lower jaw that is right down the street at a park we like to go to. So we like to try to separate him from the rest of the group, make sure he gets fed. Even though we're kind of working against nature and the selection process at this point, but it's a terrible, terrible sight. That's what steroids do.
And the darkness
settles in. Make you lose your beak.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And bringing it down.
So, all right. What else happens in this episode?
Remember, kids, don't do drugs. So. back to the pod.
Hey, Dave, I hate to tell you this. You're bringing down the cartoon show.
Hey, somebody had to. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, my God. That got really...
Look, on Pro really Stars, we talked about, like, murder and child abandonment issues and all kinds of fun stuff. So it's been a really rough sports month here on Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Yeah, and last week, we just had to talk to Jamal. So, I mean, it's been fucking challenging.
A couple of weeks.
Please... Somebody please take a video of him as he's listening to this episode, because I want that for my own personal collection.
Done.
I think it'll be just fine. All right, let's get some highlights from this pilot, because I know you guys actually watched some bonus material too, and I want to get to that, because I'm curious about the fun stuff that kind of happened from that. So real quick, let's just go through kind of the highlights of this pilot. Yes, the Ducks exist on this planet called Puck World, where everybody plays hockey and everybody's totally chill all the time, except the Saurians try to invade. They do a pretty damn good job of it, and it's pretty much just this one team of the quote-unquote Mighty Ducks that eventually form a resistance to help their fellow Puck Worldians break out of bondage. And eventually it ends up in, yes, an extra stellar space chase, I guess, which ends up going through the interdimensional portal. Lo and behold, the Mighty Ducks and the Saurians end up on Earth, and that's where we get to pretty much where we are today. Did you guys have any other...
There's one major point, which is just the transfer of leadership.
Right. Yeah.
And so we mentioned Drake's mask that they have, and do you remember where it was hidden? Where Kennard found it?
In a secret temple.
Do you remember where that secret temple? Because I'm honest, I'm setting you guys up for a duck fun. This is 100% duck.
I'm gonna
laugh. Mike, please. Mike, have it.
I found this in a secret temple between two mountains known as Twin Beaks.
Oh God, that's right.
100%. 100%.
At that point, like,
somebody wrote that line and got fucking paid for that.
At that point, somebody should have just slapped them and just been like, "This is a serious situation. We are all enslaved by dragons at this point."
I think that's a George Costanza mic drop moment. Like, he writes that line, he just leaves.
He's done.
Like, he's never heard from again.
I feel like that's the writer that must have been the writer that Mel Brooks at one point was in an actor's workshop, and a guy came up with a joke that referenced one of his old films, and he goes, "Kid, wit is shit. Funny is money. Do it again."
I like that. I wish Mel Brooks would have been in the screenwriter room for Mighty Ducks. Twin Beaks. So tell me about Kennard. What's going on with him?
Well, I'll preface this with the scene got sexy.
It got sexy, did it?
It got sexy. Oh my God, so they're in this limbo, this transdimensional limbo, and they're getting sucked through.
They're basically caught in almost a tractor beam kind of thing by the Saurians.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sort of. And so they are at some point part of the Ducks' ship. It like gets ripped open like a door, and they begin to lose pressure, and Kennard is rushing out because Kennard's rushing out because he's
realizing they can't catch them because the ship is too heavy,
right?
Well, and also
go ahead. There's this electrical worm,
electromagnetic worm, yes.
that is ejected from the lead vessel, the Saurian vessel, and just wraps itself around the Ducks' ship. Yeah. And so being they were like, well, we got to lose some weight, throw out anything that isn't bolted down. But everything's bolted down.
It's literally bolted down. Yeah.
First off, bullshit. Second off, second off, Kennard goes to the door and he's like, well, obviously I have to throw myself out of the ship.
The worm, this is poor leadership.
There was some sort of half-ass explanation like, oh, it's an electromagnetic worm thing and it won't let go until it's got some sort of mass. Like thrown into it.
It needs
to
consume matter.
That doesn't make any sense.
So he's willing to sacrifice himself. Yes. So he's getting ready to do this, and so everybody's like, "No, you can't do it." And then isn't there like a bump, and he sort of just kind of he falls out of the hatch that he opened,
and it grabs his leg, and so Wild Wing manages to reach out and grab his hand.
Right. Yeah.
At which point they begin like a good 3-minute conversation with him dangling out of a ship, going through interdimensional limo.
Where Kennard continually just says to him, he goes, "Take it, take it, take it." And I'm just like, whoa.
Referring to
Rule 34 is already in this episode, live and well.
Referring to the apparent for the first couple episodes, the Deus Ex Machina for this episode, which is this mask,
yeah,
that can see the dragons when they go invisible.
Right.
Yep. That's its grand power, and so he gets Wildwing to finally take the mask, and then he lets go and falls into limbo, and that's the last.
Oh, but the line. So he's, you know, they're holding onto their hands. He's saying, "Take it, take it." Yeah. He pulls the mask off his face. It's blue light because that's sexier.
Yeah.
He hands the mask. They're now holding on, each of them, to either end of this mask, and he says, "You're the team captain now."
Oh,
and he lets
God.
Go.
Let's go of the mask.
Emilio Estevez.
Oh,
my heart is beating fast.
Ooh.
Wait, does that mean that Ian Ziering is also who's the kid that was in Mighty Ducks? Who's the
oh my God, I just blanked on it.
Yeah, played Pacey.
Joshua Jackson.
Joshua Jackson.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Ian Ziering and Joshua Jackson are somehow like one in the same?
Joshua Jackson was actually born without a voice box, and Ian Ziering has been supplying his voice through his entire career. It's the most intricate ventriloquist.
It's lucrative for Ian Ziering.
Yeah. He went from one teen series in 90210 to voicing Pacey
and then voicing Fringe.
Yeah.
You guys have been busy.
3 years. Oh, somebody God. Please put that in Wikipedia that Ian Ziering is the voice of Joshua Jackson.
Why are those not above Sharknado in his credit?
His crest. voice of Joshua Jackson. Sharknado 90210.
Yeah.
In that
I do love that line though, because this show is so drenched in unnecessary sports metaphor. Wow. Just everywhere.
You say like, unnecessary, yeah. Sir?
Yes, 100%. Okay. You're the team captain now. Like, you're a military. You're a militia. You're not a hockey team. You are a militia. Yeah,
he wasn't like, tell my father I loved him or say so, you know, take care of my wife. You're the team captain now. You know what it reminded me of? What was that movie? What was that Tom Hanks movie that just came out not too long ago?
Big.
Yes.
No.
That's the one. Perfect. You got it.
You're talking about.
All right, please continue.
Captain Phillips, I believe.
Captain Phillips were the guy who takes off ship. He's like, I'm the captain now. So I cracked up laughing because I heard Kennard say,
you're the captain now.
Like, and it just fucking died in limbo.
All right, Sean's dying over here. What do you have to add?
Sean's cracking himself up.
I'm sorry. just to Mike's point about this, the show is just overwrought with the hockey sports metaphors.
Oh, there's so much.
If the blue, as they're holding hands, if the blue light had come off and he just hands him the mask and just went, hockey.
Merchandising.
Action figures, toys, even, hockey.
Well, now you guys mentioned even, that a while back that there were a lot of sort of like the self-referential humor and they didn't take themselves very seriously. At the end of this, the first two-parter for the pilot, as Phil Palmfeather is talking to the cop, he basically at one point, he might even be talking to the team at this point. He's like, look, guys, we got a really successful partnership going on here. Like, think of all the merchandising we can have. Comic books, we can have action figures, and if we're lucky, we might even get a cartoon series. And then they kind of like laugh and they're like, that'll never happen. And that's pretty much the end of that episode. So I do appreciate that they're being self-referential, at least. Did you guys come across any more instances of that? Or please let me know any more of the duck puns.
Yeah.
In the
third episode, it seemed like Nosedive got a lot of them through the couple episodes that we watched.
Yeah.
But he got the one in that next episode when he and Duke Laranger are fighting.
Yeah.
And he goes, it pretty much carries on like this through the rest of the show. Like,
I mean, I think
fourth wall in it. I love it.
I think for my part, I was more referencing, we talked about this a little bit, like everything had to have a duck or duck hockey mask
right.
theme.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So like even when Duke Laranger rescues Wildwing in the first episode, which to me, for my money, was Star Wars. He shows up, he's like, oh, I have a grappling hook, because you didn't know that before. His grappling hook is a hockey puck that then springs hooks Like, he fires a hockey puck out of his hand, and it springs hooks.
Which yeah. was...
Everything is a hockey puck. They fire hockey pucks from their guns.
Now, can I ask you this? Because I didn't watch enough episodes. Was there a hockey... I'll let Sean get himself under control, because maybe he can answer this question. But
I'm good.
A hockey puck that turned into a boomerang at any point?
Not that I saw, no.
No, but they did have the one that Lucretia de Croix has that turns into the what is it, two pucks with the rope in between.
Oh, like a bolo?
Like a bola?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a bolo puck. That's a good bolo puck.
Yeah.
So no boomerang puck, like from Pro Stars. Well, I guess they lost that technology somewhere in the intervening years.
We did not watch 21 out of the 26 episodes
There's a chance, sir.
Fingers crossed.
I have a question for you guys from the first episode, because we all watched the first episode.
Yeah.
We haven't really covered, we sort of glossed over what happens. At one point, they go to Dragonus' ship to try to bring down his ship. That's like the end game. Yes. And is it Drake, the guy that dies in the blue light?
That's Kennard.
Kennard looks at Wildwing and he's like, "You go by yourself and fight Dragonus, the leader of all the bad guys." Yeah. And he's like, "Why? I'm just a goalie." And he's like, "I've never seen anybody, like, nothing can, you can take more shots than anybody." Yeah. Basically,
which
he literally
is not
just
really like,
"Hey,
like a
you,
bolstering of his confidence.
Go die."
Post. It's just basically
you're a successful
like,
whipping post.
Yeah, it's like you can really take a beating right. and keep standing up.
You're a perfect Wildwing, house for bullets.
Yeah.
Wildwing then goes and fights like seven dudes. Just like by himself, and then inexplicably later on in the episode, you realize he has a shield.
Yeah,
he doesn't use it in the beginning when he fights the biggest bad guy out there, and then later he's like fighting some random guy, and he's just like, boom, shield stops everything.
He's learning in his defense. He's learning how to be a leader, because he kind of got like picked up last minute off
That's
the
true.
Street in like a refugee line, and they were just like, "Hey, come on, let's do this." Now we're in a ship. Now I'm gonna give you this mask and hockey. And now we're fighting these bad guys, and now we gotta play hockey.
Now you have a shield on your arm.
And,
forgot to tell you
about
that.
And so.
And I guess if he's taking any cues from his previous leader, his only job was just to jump out of a plane and die.
That's fair.
So I mean,
he's
you
had
know.
A bad role model. He's had a shitty role model.
Look, I do
in terms
like
of leadership.
I do like that his teammates just kind of like they come up to him and they're just like, "Hey, you gonna put that mask on and sack up and be our leader or what?" They just call him out.
You gonna grow a pair of deck balls?
Duck,
and fucking put that mask
duck
on.
Duck balls with your corkscrew penis.
Do they have balls? Is that how? I don't even want to know. I'm
I don't even
want moving to on.
Duck genitals.
Corkscrews.
Corkscrew penis.
We should definitely.
Kind of one of them.
Corkscrew.
I'm really excited.
Now that I said it, I kind
look
of
it up.
Know.
Just now you got Wikipedia open for this show. Just scroll up to the top and type in
duck
penis.
Balls.
Comfortable.
I mean, is that? I'm really excited for episode 2/3, depending on how you.
Well, yeah, so two is really just, I mean, so we watched one and a half episode, or, well, two episodes. Really.
Two episodes.
It's a
one
two-part.
One was an hour-long, you know, movie to start it off that's broken into two episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the full first movie is literally just a long push to get this damn duck to put a mask on.
Yeah.
That is the entire underpinning of the story.
And do you remember the title of this one, too? Because I think Mike brought up a good point with the titling of the episode.
Yeah.
What was it? The first
it's the first face-off.
That's
the first
that's
face-off.
Which will come back into play.
Face-off.
Face-off.
Starring Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
Oh, I didn't even read that into it. Sorry. Too literal-minded, a hockey fan. Like, that's it. It's just like, face-off. Let's do it.
And that's the gist of the story, is just that long push to get him to finally put the mask on, which he waits to do until he's getting his ass handed to him by
but I did
like what Mike said, which is that putting on the mask is admission that Kennard is dead
right,
and gone
right.
Yeah, like, he's now the leader. He has to assume the role that he never wanted,
and that was my initial thought was, is Kennard dead? Because I think the show only had the 26 episodes, I don't think that they ever find him or nothing ever happens. Like, you are led to believe, and for a Disney property, that's shocking. Like, they killed a titular character.
Yep.
They actually do some more fucked up stuff later on, though. So you know that the chameleon is a shape changer. I think they actually use him in one of the plots to take on the guise of Kennard and lure Wildwing in. because he's basically pretending to be Kennard as like, look, I survived, but I need your help and I'm trapped and I can't get out.
So that's pretty fucking dark, man.
Even for the villains, like, that's pretty messed up.
Well, and they do something later. One of the episodes that Mike and I just watched today was where Chameleon actually more or less defects and just he winds up going to this planet and taking on the guise of this lost king, which is actually just that his squire has taken his power wand and has forced him into the dungeon, and he doesn't look like himself because he doesn't have his powers. So just by luck, Chameleon kind of falls into this role of being the king, and he's doted on. And so he's just like, screw this, I'm staying here.
And he literally, he calls Dragonus on their little wristband watch, and he's like, I don't work for you anymore. Out. And then he's just done. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
I don't think he put in his 2 weeks.
You don't think he put in his 2 weeks? He didn't have an exit interview with HR?
No.
I do want to take it back to kind of bridging between episode one and episode two, if we can.
Yeah.
The movie and episode two. Oh,
okay.
So they set this up that it seems like the plot of the entire show is going to be that they're trapped on Earth, both groups, because they can't recreate this trans-dimensional generator to get back to their home planet.
Right.
Transformers, anyone? Transformers,
yeah. Pretty much. Anybody?
And so they
all cartoons ever,
pretty much
any sci-fi cartoon ever.
And so it's like, okay, you know, I get that plot. Fine, you know, done. We get that it's done. You're stuck there forever. And then the very next episode, they're like, power up the trans-dimensional portal so we can bring this other duck through that we need to move the plot along, and just power it up and bring her in, and then have her for the whole episode, and then basically send her back in the very next one. So you have the power, obviously, to get yourself off this planet, so you're just here fucking around, is all you're
having. They're playing hockey, dude. They gotta keep their edge.
this is the Dragonians.
Oh, well, then I don't know what they are doing.
Like, yeah. The Dragonians have the power in the third episode to pull somebody from Puckworld over to use them to infiltrate the Mighty
Ducks. Sexy duck.
This is the sexy duck.
Sexy duck.
This is Lucretia DeCoy.
Of course it is.
DeCoy. And so they use her, you know, given her namesake, and they try to get her to integrate into the ducks, and you know, they, I don't know, it was
sexy.
It was
having,
it was weird.
Having watched a little further, and we didn't watch all the episodes, we just sort of skipped to the later ones. Yeah. At some point Dragonus just gets angry at Earth, because there's an episode later on I don't know how to explain it. There's an episode later on where inexplicably, because the humans don't even know they're there, they're still invisible to the humans, he tries to destroy Washington, D.C. with a really powerful laser. Actually, that's in episode 3.
It's episode 3, yeah.
But why? Like,
he doesn't, there's no
humans don't even know he's there.
Yeah, there's no like story. They don't really...
He's just
a
world-dominant... Like, he's just looking to do world domination. That's pretty much it.
I thought that was cool that we got a shout out, like, for Washington.
It does make me feel good.
I was like, yeah, all right.
Did he try to, like, blast you guys from Anaheim, though? Because that's, I mean...
Yeah.
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 He had a special laser that would blast us from Anaheim. I loved this episode, though. Just the whole thing, and just how... I don't know, you guys want to get into it. Like, you want to do the synopsis, but...
Well, I mean, I think the... So, the idea is that they need to get a duck into the Mighty Ducks in order to use their technology to be able to find where this certain artifact is located, which will allow them to power this. Was it a missile or like a beam?
It's a laser of some sort.
The first of a handful of episodes where somehow the dragons need to get some piece of technology from the ducks in order to accomplish whatever their mission is.
I mean, so what it is there's a special kind of chip that apparently was left by somebody thousands and thousands of years ago, because humans don't have the technology. But the magic mask, again, is the Deus Ex Machina that can find this chip. And so Dragonus has to fool Wildwing into looking for it, and hence he puts the sexy duck into play.
Right. But she has to take out Tanya, who knows who she is and knows that she's a baddie. So that's when we see the puck that turns into the boa and takes her out early in the episode.
Snarf of the group. She's just like this throwaway character that never gets anything
good.
She's
more like the Panthro.
She's not nearly as cool as Panthro.
She's the Felicity of this team.
Basically. She's Snarf and Donatello mixed into one.
I love that in the first episode though, they were just like, man, we're really gonna need a supercomputer, and she's like, with this technology I can probably put one together in a couple years. Cut to 5 seconds later and she's like, I got the supercomputer for you guys. So that didn't take long at all.
Well, it was built into their contract that they got to build a superhero facility underneath the ice rink.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
They really need to do a better job looking at their contracts.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Which the contractual stuff comes up to play in episode 3. So what happens is Lucretia DeCoy brings them to the site. She double-crosses the ducks. They end up fighting the Draconians. And what happens is... who puts the wrong... Somebody does an old switcheroo the wrong chip on Lucretia DeCoy.
So they get the chip.
Wildwing puts the wrong chip on Lucretia DeCoy. Draconis grabs it, realizes that it's the wrong thing, and then throws her into an interdimensional limbo. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hanging out with Kennard there.
And so...
Superman 2. Yeah. She's hanging out with those guys, like Zod, Lucretia DeCoy,
Phantoms. Yeah.
Whatevs.
So they gets rid of her. They continue the fight, and Draconis gets the real chip, and the ducks manage to stop him in the nick of time.
Excellent. Well, unfortunately, we're running a little long.
I know that we're coming short on time.
But if you guys had any last thoughts, we'll just kind of go around real quick. And Mike, did you have anything real quick to add?
Mike, did you want to mention what the contract stuff was at the very end that becomes another like reoccurring joke that they evidently have that comes at the end of like number or episode 3?
I think more what I took away from episode 3 is that the plot is sort of not the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing is that when Lucretia DeCoy, who is clearly the most attractive duck to have ever lived, walks into the room, Nosedive and Duke lose their minds,
ruffles their
and
feathers,
and start fighting over her. But the entire time they're fighting over her, they're also talking basically to the camera and saying like, yep, we're gonna keep doing this all episode.
Yeah.
And at one point they sit down and look through their own cartoon series contracts to find out that in the event that they're fighting over a woman, Nosedive is obligated to lose to Duke.
I read that to be their hockey contract.
Regardless, I
thought it was their hockey
contract. And then Sean brought this up earlier at the very end when Mallory like gussies up and looks all sexy. They're like, whoa, we want to fight over her? Nope. And it's just messed up. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. And at one point, Nosedive actually looks at the camera and says, just goes to show you the good-looking ones are always trouble.
Yep.
And it was like their own little PSA right inside, where like, really don't date sexy women, they're only trouble. Like,
it's
remember
funny.
That 10-year-old kids. Yeah.
Exactly.
I was almost waiting for like there a moment just to like for Nosedive to just be like, look, I'm a duck and I'm trying to smash. I don't see what the fucking problem is. I'm just trying, look, I'm gonna go meet other ducks on Duck Tinder, Quacker, and look, I'm gonna swipe right on a bunch of duck bitches.
Can we please start the Quacker app?
Look, Quacker. It's my fucking instinct. It's in my biology.
Their PSA,
I'm a duck.
Their PSA after this episode is bros before hoes. Like, that is their PSA.
Yeah. And they cap it off with like, I'm gonna go have a nice
hot
cocoa and read a nice long book. Yeah, okay. You know that they're both masters.
Which raises that biology question again. Tony, anything else from this series real quick?
No, I think we've covered the run of everything I got from this series. It's interesting. I was not displeased, but we'll save that for the final thought.
I guess I should go back real quick, Sean, before I get to you. And Mike, would you say you actually recommend this show?
Oh, yeah.
Should the listeners check it out?
I've listened to a lot of your shows and watched some of the shows because I don't remember all of them. I sort of just blanket love cartoons. You're in the right place. So while this show was really hard to pin down in the sort of like, why did they make it and how does this all work, I would absolutely continue to watch the remaining 20 episodes that I have not seen, because it's a cartoon and I don't really care why it happens. It's just there. So yes, absolutely. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Sean and Dave, what show should we sick Mike on in order to break him of this?
Holy crap. We should revisit
Open Love.
We should revisit some of the ones we've already done.
I watched Robotics. It almost broke me.
It's a tough one to get through.
Yeah, it almost broke me, but it still didn't. I was still like, no, I'm all right with this.
I don't know, man. Spiral Zone is a rough watch.
I watched a little of the Skeleton Warriors after listening to Skeleton Warriors, and I was like, no, I'm into this. I got it.
Jason Warriors.
I will say this. I was down in Rehoboth Beach last weekend, and I was in an old video game and toy store called Yesterday's Fun that's down there that is definitely worth checking out, and it's awesome. And this is related to this question. Some guy looks down and he goes, "What's that action figure?" He's like, "He's got like a looks like a mirror in his chest."
Yes.
And I was like, "Oh, you mean Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light?" And he's like, "Yes, that's it." And I was like, "Yeah."
And then you handed out
that show
cards,
almost
right?
fucking broke me.
You handed out all our business cards and told him where to find Saturday Morning Cartoons.
I definitely referred him to the show.
There you go.
No, that's great.
I had to drop it, and I was like, "He's like, oh my god, how'd you know?" I was like, "Well,
I do this for a living, right?" Oh, Christ. I'm going to Comic Con in a couple weeks, so I'm hoping to get some buzz going there. So we'll see.
Do it.
Tony, do you recommend the show?
I enjoyed this one. We've seen some stinkers in the time that I've been joining you guys for this show, and as long as you can forgive the fact that there is zero reliable continuity in the motives or anything like that, it's a Disney show. It's well made. There are good storylines. There are good characters. There is good humor. There is some terrible humor.
It's well animated.
The animation. The animation's very good. I would recommend this one. This one's good old fashioned fun.
Excellent, Sean. So, any final thoughts for the show, and then would you recommend it?
I'm just gonna skip right to the recommendation. Okay. And say yes, definitely. Check this out. This was actually really good, and I'm glad that this one.
Yeah, I think we got a 4 for 4. It was a pleasant surprise. It was a lot of fun. I wish I had the time to watch a little bit more of it, especially Sexy Duck Time. But like I said, After Dark, I want to watch it now.
Yeah.
Featuring Steven Seagal. I'm so.
If I can recommend, skip to episode 20. Mad Quacks Beyond Hockey Dome. Ugh. It's definitely a solid episode.
Is it
episode 20?
Okay.
Yeah.
Max related.
Yeah, especially these things. I do like that the first team they squared off against was the Quahog Clams.
That.
Especially as like a weird, I don't know, just made me think of Family Guy. So it's just like
absolutely.
A random thing. But I'd say I recommend it too. So you guys go check it out. Only 26 episodes, all out of order. We don't really know what the hell order they were supposed to be in, but you can figure it out. All right, we're going to go around the horn again because it is that time at the end of the show where we give our guests and ourselves, obviously, a chance to let you know what we've got going on over the next couple of weeks. So, Mike, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I am the owner and operator of a coffee shop and cafe in Washington, D.C.'s Mountain Pleasant neighborhood, known as Flying Fish Coffee and Tea. Other than that, I make an occasional appearance in a crowded elevator film. And, anytime some fine gentlemen invite me on their podcast.
Yeah, and social media for you too.
Yeah, where can we find you?
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a Luddite, so I do not have Twitter or anything.
Then
but
the shop.
The shop is at DC Flying Fish, and we can be found at flyingfishcoffeedc.com.
Excellent.
Luddite that I have to drag away from his computer playing Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic or whatever it is.
Yes, a video game from a decade ago.
Yeah.
That's about where I'm at.
Still, what's up? Selective Luddite. I like it. Tony, what do you got going on?
Coming up in the next couple weeks, it's not in the next couple weeks. One of my bands is playing Jammin' Jabba on July 25th. My 311 tribute band known as the Hostile Apostles. We'll be playing a Back to the 90s show along with a Weezer tribute and a Sublime tribute. So that show is going to be a lot of fun. Tickets will sell out. We've been doing these series now for a few months, and they're really popular. So you're interested, check out Jam and Java's website. I'm pretty sure it's jamandjava.com. And you can find me at BigTonyVT on both Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent. And we'll have everything that Mike and Tony just talked about up on the website when the show goes live, so you guys can check out the links there. Sean, what do you got going on next couple of weeks?
Just life right now.
Just life. Just your life is always insane, though, so you got to have something going on.
Yeah, I'm doing a bunch of shows for Washington Improv Theater in D.C. You can find me in Adams Morgan on 18th Street. Wow, that was hard to say.
Was that, hold on, was it 818th Street?
18th Street. in Adams Morgan at the D.C. Arts Center. I'm going to be there on June 26th. It's going to be a fun night because it's a doubleheader show. And there's a 7:30 and a 10 performing with Knox. You can find tickets at witdc.org. And then in July, I'll be performing on the 11th, 18th, 25th, and whatever the first, for August 1st. And so a bunch of shows coming up there. And it'll be new and interesting because, well, it's improv, so it's always new every time we do it. But the shows that are in July are a part of a larger summer run that we're doing, and we're doing a show that actually addresses the five stages of grief. So it'll be a little bit more of a more serious, dramatic tone. So
interesting.
And again, the group, if you're on witdc.org, is called Knox. That's N-O-X exclamation point. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul.
I got to say, first of all, Sean, I'm very proud of you this episode and the last couple of weeks. Your sports knowledge has greatly improved. You actually used yet another sports term, doubleheader. So well done. You're really, I'm going to say, knocking it out of the park tonight. Yeah.
I feel like I've got, I mean, if this
golf
is...
Golf clap.
Thank you. If this is the third, I'm really hat-tricking it in terms of what I'm doing.
Careful.
Oh, hands careful. Up.
Careful.
Hands
getting
up.
Too bold.
Non-stop
created
slap
a sports
shot.
Monster. Oh, man. Hey, guess what?
Oh, Dave. And where, Dave, what are you doing, buddy?
No, like I said, still working over at Collider.com. I'm there full-time now, so you guys can come harass me throughout the day. Not a whole lot of TV going on for me right now, just still covering a lot of movie news and stuff like that, but we will be headed in force to Comic-Con in a few weeks, so headed out to San Diego, I think, believe the 7th of July and the 12th of July. We'll be out there for that week or so if you guys are going, drop us a line, let us know. You can follow me on Twitter at DrClawMD. If you're interested in finding out more about the show, check out the website, SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can also follow us on Twitter at MorningToons. Check out Sean's handiwork over at Tumblr. That's SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You can also send us an email. Like I said, if you're going to be going to San Diego Comic-Con, just drop me a line, let me know. And make sure to say hi. Maybe you get some free swag, like stickers or a coffee. Probably not bringing a coffee mug on the plane. It's crazy talk. Oh. What am I thinking? Yeah, let me know. SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. You can download the podcast each and every week through iTunes and Stitcher. And if you like the show, please kindly rate and review it. It really does help us out quite a bit. I think that's pretty much it for our contact info. Sean, what do we got coming up next week to wrap up Sports Month here on Saturday Morning Cartoons?
Because we're trying to encompass many different sports.
Yeah, you see how I served that one up for you?
Oh.
Yeah, I got it in before you could.
Perfect on. Perfect on that one. The score right now
40
is
love.
40 love. we had to jump to an anime series, and we will be reviewing Prince of Tennis next week, so that we could because we have one reference to tennis in Pro Stars during the live segment part where they ask who would be another good pro star to add, and I think Wayne Gretzky said Andre Agassi, and that's the only tennis reference that we've had all month, so we're gonna cap it off with Prince of Tennis.
I have no clue how this is gonna go.
I'm curious though, because I think I played tennis for a summer like, this is totally done.
But
with
this
it.
Will be different for us because it's tennis. It's gonna be a dubbed anime, and I think it's one of the not super old ones, but maybe like 80s, 90s. So I don't know. This will be interesting.
I think it's at least the 90s.
It's the 90s.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm curious to watch this one. I'm actually excited.
Yeah, we will find out. So, all right. Well, I want to say thanks again very much to our guests, Mike and Tony. Mike, especially for your first time, long-time listener, first-time guest. So thank you very much for coming on the show.
Woo!
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Much appreciated.
Can we outro this with a Mighty Ducks quack?
Quack. 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 Quack.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.